නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස So we were discussing Sabhya Sutta, which is available in the Sutta Nipata, and the situation happened like one ascetic called Sabhya. He went through various other teachers to ask series of questions. He learned from a deity, and actually this deity requested him to go and ask these questions and then get the proper solutions. And the person who is capable of giving the solution is a great teacher, and you can become a monk or you can become a follower of that teacher, under that teacher. So Sabhya was very interested in finding that teacher, and he is going one after the other. So he went through all the popular teachers during that time. The six teachers who were popular during that time: Sanjay Bellattiputta, Ajita Kesakambali, Pakuda Kachayana, Nigantanatha Putta. So likewise, six teachers were very popular, and he went through them, but unfortunately they were not ready to listen even to his questions. And they actually asked various questions from him rather than answering him the questions. So ultimately he became really disappointed, because they were the known great teachers and they are quite unable to answer these questions. So he even disappointed about his own ascetic life, and he wanted to give up and become a layperson. And anyway, a thought occurred to him, this the Buddha, actually he is addressing him as the Samana Gautama. So Samana Gautama has also started several followers, and he is also become popular now, and I better approach him. But another thought occurred that he is quite young, so these questions were unanswerable by the six teachers who are quite old and very popular. So how come this Samana Gautama, who is still young, can answer these questions? And then another thought occurred, no, I should not disparage a person thinking their age. Rather, there may be a possibility, even a young person, if he is quite intelligent, capable, can answer these questions. So ultimately he decided to go to the Buddha, and he start asking the questions. Actually Buddha welcomed the questions rather than rejecting them, so that the opportunity given to Sabhya itself is something that he appreciated, telling that I didn't even get an opportunity during the other places when I approached the other places, but here I am getting an opportunity. So this is something Sabhya really appreciated. And then he start asking questions. And we are now going through one by one, and we have come to, we last time discussed verse, Kappani vichayya kevalani sansarang dubbhayang chutupapatang vikata raja mananganang visuddhang pattang jatikkhayang tamahu buddhanti. So Sabhya asked, who is the Buddha? So Buddha actually giving a very a deep answer here. Having examined all mental constructs, Kappani vichayya kevalan. Now here the term kappa has different meanings. Here the meaning is actually the mental constructs or thoughts. So having examined the nature of the mental constructs, having examined the nature of volitions, various mental objects, and sansarang dubbhayang chutupapata, and again seeing the arising and passing away, or coming into rebirth in this whole sansara, and he understood that. As a result of that, vigata raja manangana, so he was able to remove the defilements from his mind. So rajas means a dust representing defilements. So he was able to remove the dust, remove the defilements, and again the ananganang, so other various kinds of defilements. And now he become purified, visuddha. Pattang jati khayang. So now he achieved destroying of the rebirth. There is no more rebecoming. There is no more rebirth. Attained the destruction of birth. Tamahu buddhanti. And he is the fully enlightened person. He is the Buddha. So we discussed that on last week. And now after hearing these answers, Sabiya was quite happy. Atako sabiyo paribhajako bhagavato bhasitam abhinanditva, anumoditva, attamano pamudito, udaggo, piti somanasa jato, bhagavantam uttarin panyam apucci. Now, here it is mentioned, after hearing the answers, Sabiya was very very happy and he was internally delighted and pleased and full of rapture, and he now want to ask further questions. Actually, he has altogether 20 questions. Now he is asking the other questions now. Kim patti namahu brahmanam samanam kena katancha nahatakoti nagoti katam pavuchyati putto me bhagava byakarohi. Now he is asking kim patti namahu brahmanam. So how one is called a brahmin? Samanam kena katancha nahatakoti. How an ascetic become well purified or well bathed? Nagoti katam pauchati. When a person is called a naga, you can call a kind of a tusker. Nagoti katam pauchati. Putto me bhagava byakarohi. Please answer these questions. Now Buddha is answering. Bahitva sabba papakani bimalo sadhu samahito thitatto sansara maticcha kevaliso asito thadi pavuchyate sa brahma. Now very very interesting terms are here, and fair deep meaning is also here. Bahitva sabba papakani. Now having expelled all types of evil, and vimalo, so as a result of that, he become utterly purified, stainless. There is no any impurities. Sadhu samahito, well collected in his mind. And tithatto, his mind is well established. Inwardly firm. There is no wandering. There is no wavering. And sansara maticcha. So he has crossed the sansara. He has gone beyond sansara. Kevali, he is the consummate one, supremely enlightened one. Asito, and his mind is unattached. Thadi, he is a Thadi person. He is such one. He is a person who is quite capable of withstanding the ups and downs of the life, vicissitudes of the life. Pauchyate sa brahma. So he is the person who we can call him a brahmin. Now there are a few things that we can understand. Having expelled all types of evil. Now this is a very common term or statement that certain other verses or suttas also highlight. Probably you can remember a very popular verse available in the Dhammapada. Sabba papa sakaranam. So don't do any evil things. So this is actually representing the samadhitti in its mundane form. So as you know, there are two types of samadhitti: the mundane types of samadhitti and the supramundane type of samadhitti. In the mundane type of samadhitti, so the establishing oneself in the good side, so avoiding conducting any kind of unwholesome deeds and only trying to do the wholesome deeds. So at that level, actually the sila is very important and understanding about the kamma is very important. So he understand, okay, kamma is actually like a lifeline. So I inherit kamma. I am heir to the kamma. And if I do something good, I may get good results. If I do something bad, I might get the bad results. So he is quite aware of that. So as a result of that, he is trying not to do evil deeds and trying to do only the good deeds. So related to karma, he has a thorough belief in a way. Even though he can't thoroughly experiment about it, thoroughly, comprehensively understand about it, but still he has a certain belief that I better do only the good things, I better avoid all the bad things. And he believe that karma become my refuge. If I do something good, so the results, the good results, will become a refuge to me and becomes my relation. So as a result of that, now he's establishing himself in this good side. Good side is one of the very important thing, because if we are neglectful about the morality, if we are neglectful about this karma, so then it is also difficult to purify one's mind. So the gross kind of wrong deeds have to be abandoned. So that is the gross defilement level. So kaya duccharita, vachi duccharita, mano duccharita. So they are the gross kind of defilements. Doing evil deeds through the body, using bad words, lying, false speech. So this slandering, so that kind of wrong speech. And then through the mind also doing some having excess kind of greed, which are unrealistic. So that kind of some extreme type of unacceptable, unethical kind of conduct has to be abandoned. Now, sabbapapasakaranam kusalasu upasampada. So now one has to establish oneself in the good side. Now he has to purify his own mind. Sacitta pariyodapanam. So likewise, there are kind of a progressive path Buddha is explaining. And to some extent, here also the same thing Buddha highlights. So he, having expelled all types of evil, bahitva sabbapapakani, vimalo. So as a result of that, he now becomes stainless. So his mind is fairly purified. Samahito. Now his mind is concentrated, but here the meaning concentration has a different meaning. So typically we think, so our mind has to be well concentrated, it has to be one-pointed. So that is also true at the beginning of our practice, because we know, so we have to investigate all the different kinds of phenomena that we are experiencing right at that moment. So we have to have that momentary concentration. When elementary characteristics appear, so we have to focus our attention onto those element characteristics. If there is a particular feeling appear, so we have to concentrate our mind onto that particular feeling. If there is a thought happens right now, we should be able to distinctly recognize that thought. So that requires very precise kind of a concentration. That is necessary. We can call it as kind of a focused attention. But later, by using that type of concentration, one observing those different phenomena, and as a result of that, his mind become more wise. Wise attention is there, also manasikara is being developed. So now thoroughly, so he is getting proper understanding about these different phenomena, all the conditioned phenomena. Now he is going through some understanding. And as a result of that, the result is actually the abandoning, nibbida. So he become disenchanted about this constructed world. So now things have abandoned. So his mind no more grasping, rather mind prefers to be free. Now the interesting thing here is, as a result of non-grasping, mind become internally firm, unwavering. Now this is the term samahita, typically that has to give the proper connotation. Now it is different from typical samadhi, but here very much like a cheto vimutti. So one's mind has freed, mentally freed. There is no grasping. Since there is no grasping and mentally freed, It doesn't mean mind is jumping from this to that. There is nothing to jump. There is nothing worthy of attaching. There is nothing worthy of clinging. So as a result of that, now mind is firm. Now mind is very much like unwavering. It has stopped. No more jumping. So that situation is what highlighted here. Samahito thithattu. Samahita and thiti. So that means, so his mind become collected and firm, internally firm, still. Then sansara maticca, and he has gone beyond sansara. So that means actually we can give one meaning telling that he has no rebirth. The sansara, we can give a kind of a definition that it is again and again coming into being, coming into rebirth. But now he has gone beyond that cycle. This is his last life. He is an arahant. And on the other hand, we can say, so he is no more subject to typical kind of conventional terminologies. Now, say for example, when we are referring a person and we use his name, we use his age, identification marks, his nationality, his education, and there are so many such parameters using which actually we are distinctly giving some kind of an identity to that person. Now, interestingly, so when one becomes an arahant, so that identity has gone. So the rupa, the rupa khanda, the form aggregate, actually does not represent a person. The feeling aggregate does not represent a person. The perceptions aggregate does not represent a person. Formations aggregate does not represent a person. Consciousness aggregate does not represent a person in the conventional term. So the arahant has gone beyond that. So he may use the terms like I, me, you, names. He may use, but he know very well they are merely conventions. He has gone beyond the conventions. He is no more entangled into conventions, but he may skillfully use them. So he has gone beyond that convention, and that is another deeper kind of meaning that we can take here. Sansarang maticca. So he has gone beyond sansara. Kevali so. He is the consummate one. So he is the purified one. Asito. And so his mind has become, we can say, again purified, unattached. So all are very much same meaning here. And asito, tadi. Tadi is another interesting quality where his mind is unwavering. So there is no any kind of attachment to the good side, and there is no any kind of rejection to the bad side. So typically when we are going through our life, so when happiness, gain, fame, praise occurs, so we start attaching to them, we start identifying with them, we start welcoming them, and we become elated. And on the other hand, when unhappiness, suffering, or loss, blames, ill fame, so when these happen, we become really disappointed, we become depressed, and we start crying. Now, the Thadi person, on the other hand, is capable of maintaining his mind in the middle without going to up and down. So he may use his own vipassana knowledges to maintain his mind at this unwavering level. So it is not that merely he become kind of indifferent and he is insensitive, rather he is quite sensitive. He is well aware of what is going on, but his mind is unwavering. He's capable of keeping his mind at an unattached state of mind, at an unattached state. Say, for example, he has practiced, say, Vedana Anupassana, and as a result of that, so he was able to observe various kinds of feelings in a detached mood. So that is one level actually. So happy feelings happen, he can be detached and observe. Pleasurable feelings happen, he can be detached and observe. And then say painful feelings happen, they are also, he can be detached and observe. Equanimous feelings happen, he can be detached and observe. So he has this capacity to observe things like an outsider. Parato, he sees them as someone else's. So he does not identify with them. So he is growing this kind of a detached observation. Now later, as a result of this sort of practice, when he has thorough understanding to these phenomena, now slowly mind become disenchanted, not interested about these conditioned phenomena. Now slowly mind become detached, and ultimately it become released. So when mind become released, so this released state of mind, now he is fairly familiarizing, he is consolidating this released state of mind. So now that becomes one's base. So rather than associating the conditioned phenomena, now he is trying to be or dwell in this unassociated state. He is now dwelling in the unassociated state. Anisthitocha viharati. And he no more try to get attached to anything in the world. He is preventing grasping anything into world. So he is developing non-grasping attitude, non-grasping skill. Now he is developing. Now that state of mind is something now he is familiar, and now he is using that as a kind of a baseline, as a reference line, as a middle line of one's life. So that is becoming very much like a reference to our mind, a very, say, friction-free path, a comfortable zone in our mind, unattached state of mind, non-grasping state of mind, unassociated state of mind. So the mind does not associate anything as such. Rather, it is having its own freedom, maintaining its own freedom. So it has the capacity to be independent in a way. So as we discussed previously, samahito tithattu. So his mind is well collected, not jumping to this and that. It is not restless. And again unwavering, internally firm. And not grasping anything, he is not into any kind of a frustration. So that also can happen actually when we are still having a lot of identification. So that when there is nothing to be associated, so one can become somewhat frustrated. Because typically we identify with something. I want my body to be identified with. So I like it, I love it, I appreciate it, I identify with it, I need it. It is feelings, so I love them, I need them. So my name, my designation, social status, so everything I want. So when you lose everything, so you can become frustrated, you can become bewildered, because you want something to be identified with it. But slowly through the practice, when one understands, okay, they are all impermanent, they are all unsatisfactory, they are non-self, and they are fairly many conventions, they are not real, there is nothing substantial there. So that gives him a thorough understanding. Now he is capable of relinquishing things. So the relinquishment becomes more and more natural, effortless. So when that is maturing, so the maintenance of his mind into that unattached state can become more and more peaceful, effortless, and without much striving. So he can maintain his mind in that unattached state. That means anupada aparitasana. So previously anupada paritasana, now he has come to anupada aparitasana. So even though the mind does not associate, there could be a little frustration, kind of a fearful thought, a fearful feeling, but later even that has gone. Now there is no grasping at all and his mind is completely peaceful. So having expelled, okay, consuming, unattached, thadi pauchate sa brahma. So he is the proper Brahmin. Now you can see the Buddha's answer here, even though it is very concise, so it has a very very deeper meaning. So the whole Patipada is concisely included in this single verse. And then Buddha further explained, samitavi pahaya punya papam virajo nyatva imang parancha lokam jati maranam upati vattu samano thadi pavuchate tatattha. Samitavi, one who is peaceful, pahaya punya papam, having abandoned merit and demerit, merit and evil, pahaya punya papam, virajo, so he has become dustless, virajo, nyatva imang parancha lokam, and he has become fully understood this world and the next world, jati maranam upati vattu, who has transcended birth and death, samano thadi pauchate tatatta. Such one is truthfully called an ascetic. Now here also some similarities there, this verse and the previous verse. So previously it is mentioned bahitva sabba papakani. So here again Buddha highlights pahaya punya papam. So he has abandoned merit and demerit, merit and evil. Now, this term actually we can relate with our own practice. Say for example, if you are practicing Chitta Anupassana, assume that there is a wholesome thought occurred to your mind. Say it is a loving kindness thought. But at this level, you are not promoting loving kindness thought in your mind. Rather, you recognize it as a thought. This is a Vita dosan chittang, vita dosan chittanti pajanati. So he understood, okay, this is a loving kindness thought. So you keep it aside. So rather than you are identifying with it, rather than you are promoting it, you let it go. And you allow it to behave as it want. You are not trying to manipulate, you are not trying to construct, you are not trying to promote. Rather, you are now capable of letting go. You are now capable of letting go because you understood. So they have the nature to come and go. They arise and pass away. So these thoughts actually are arising and passing away. But if we kind of start putting our hand, so then it will be difficult. Then actually we are kind of interfering ourselves. So rather than interfering, so what we need to do here is to allow things to happen naturally. Say, assume that there's a loving kindness thought is there. So you understand, okay, there is a loving kindness thought. But now you are not going to promote loving kindness thoughts, many many thoughts. Rather, you allow that thought to happen and allow that thought to be, allow that thought to go. Similarly, now suppose there is a hateful thought happen. Now you are not rejecting that, you are not trying to suppress it, you are not kind of blaming yourself. Rather, you understand, okay, it is a hateful thought. Now if you keep them as it is, so they have the nature to appear and then disappear, arise and pass away. Now, when they pass away, again you become peaceful. So that means, with respect to wholesome thoughts and unwholesome thoughts, you are not having any kind of a favorism. You have penetrated them. You know both the conditioned phenomena. They are not permanent. It is not that we are trying to think only the wholesome. Rather, we are very much like understanding their true nature and allowing them to come and go, arise and pass away. And samitavi. And as a result of that, you can become peaceful. Because you are not associating anything conditioned. Rather, all the conditioned phenomena are fairly passed away. And suppose there is no new conditioned phenomena to which you are attached with. Conditioned phenomena may be there, but you are not attached with. You are not interested about them. So you are maintaining kind of an equanimity towards the conditioned phenomena. So as a result of that, mind becomes peaceful. And virajo. And your mind becomes defilement free, undefiled, or purified. Thus less, no defilements right now. Because when you are maintaining that kind of unattached, purified state of mind, so you can immediately recognize whenever a defilement happens. Because the familiarity of that pure state of mind become more and more convenient for you, and again that helps you to understand even subtle defilements. So as a result of that, slowly, slowly, you can abandon all the defilements. And you know imang parancha loka. You know this world and the next world. So that and the previous sansaram maticcha, and you know penetrating the sansara. And here nyatva imang parancha loka jati maranang upati vattu. Now all these things have some relationship. So when you know all the conditioned phenomena have the nature to come and go, arise and pass away, appear and disappear, so you are not interested about those kind of phenomena. You are not believing them, thinking that they may give you a lasting happiness. Because you understood their true nature. Having understood their true nature, you are no more interested of attaching with them and or expecting kind of a gratification with them, satisfaction with them, because you know that they have the nature to come and go. They are impermanent, constantly changing. And you have no control over them. They are non-self. So as a result of that, jati marana, so arising and passing away, coming into birth and then pass away, to which you have no much interest. So you have transcended that process. Jati maranam upati vattu. Samano tadi pavuchyate tatattha. So previously Buddha mentioned asito tadi pavuchyate sa brahma. Here Buddha mentioned samano tadi pavuchyate tatattha. So a samana, an ascetic, who is maintaining that kind of an unwavering mind, and he is the person who is well established. Truthfully, we can call him an ascetic. And now another interesting verse. Nimhaya sabba papakani ajjattam bahiddhacha sabba loke deva manussesu kappiyesu kappan neti tamahu nahatakoti. So ninhaya sabba papakani, and having washed away all types of evil, අජ්ජත්තම් බහිද්දාච සබ්බ ලෝකේ ඉන්ටර්නල් ඇන් එක්ස්ටර්නල් ද හෝල් වර්ල්ඩ් දේව මනුස්සේසු කප්පියේසු ඇන් වටව common in the say devas humans and that to those related constructs related sankhara related to the deva realm and the human realm so he deva manussesu kappiyesu kappang neti and he does not think about them he does not enter onto the mental constructs which are common to deva realm celestial realms and to the manusa realm to the human realm tamahu nahatakoti and he is the fully purified one he is the one who properly bathed now typically so even though we meditate so our mind still go through various constructs so sometimes thinking about this sometimes thinking about that interested about this, interested about that. So still thinking. So we can't sometimes stop thinking. Stop proliferating. So the mind keeps going on and on, overthinking. Now here, Buddha mentioned, among devas and humans given to mental construction, so this particular person does not enter upon mental constructs. Now, typically devas and the humans, they do various mental constructs. They do mental proliferation. Conceptual proliferation is one of their characteristics. They are very, very interested of doing that. So that is why Buddha mentioned in the Dhammapada, papanchabhirata paja. So this folk, this whole humans and the devas, they are really interested of proliferation, constant thinking, too much thinking, overthinking, worrying, rumination, fantasizing. All these are one of their interesting features. But the Buddha has the opposite. Papanchabhirata paja nippapancha tathagata. So the tathagata, the arahant, is nippapancha. So he is not interested of conceptual proliferation. He has abandoned the conceptual proliferation. So he does not enter upon mental constructs. So he does not encourage mental constructions. Rather, he may be interested of calming down mental constructs. So typically it is quite difficult because we want to do something. We want to identify with something. We want to construct something. We want to create something. So we are geared to create. We are geared to construct. We are so anxious to show ourselves, to represent myself, to express myself. But here, he does not enter upon mental constructs. So he slowly allow them to cease. When a certain sankhara happens, when a thought happens, so he see how it is passing away. When a mental phenomena happen, then he see how they pass away. When a feeling happen, he see how it is passing away. When various element characteristics occur, he see how it pass away. So likewise, the passing away side is quite evident to him. So there are things simply passing away. So he is now capable of abiding at peace. So all that impurities, sankharas, constructs are slowly abandoned. So his mind is not that interested about him. So his mind may be interested in the sabba sankhara samatha. So that is the nibbana. So calming down of all formations. So the formations are calmed down. So his mind is peaceful. So here, therefore, Buddha highlights the non-proliferation. So typically the term papancha is used for proliferation. So here we are learning a different terminology. So kappang neti. So kappang neti here means
He does not do that kind of a mental constructs. So the kappang, as I mentioned previously, kappa has different meaning. One meaning is the eon, so the kappa, badra kappa, and that type of various terms are there. So that means an eon. But here, kappa means a thought, a mental construct. So kappa neti means he does not do mental construct. So he is capable of keeping his mind peacefully, without mental constructs. And the next one, agum na karoti kinchi loke sabba sanyoge visajja bandhanani sabbatta na sajjati vimutto nago thadi pavuchate tatattha. Now here Buddha mentioned agum na karoti. Agum na karoti, one who does not commit any crime in the world. Agu, offense, any kind of a crime. So agum na karoti kinchi loke, so he does not do any kind of a crime, any kind of an offense. So he is trying to be a peaceful person, an innocent person. Sabba sanyoge visajja bandhanani, so all different kinds of knots, all different kinds of yokes, bondages, so he has discarded. Visajja, he has discarded, abandoned. Sabbatta na sajjati, so everywhere he is not tied. So his mind is maintained without any kind of defilement. He is not tied to anywhere. So as a result of that, he is freed, vimutto, liberated. Nago thadi pauchate tatatta. So such person is called a naga, a tusker. You can call a bull elephant, a thoroughbred elephant. He's so strong. So the different winds coming from the faculties are incapable of changing him, wavering him. So his mind is firmly freed, established in a way. Established at nowhere in a way. Unestablished. Unestablished in the typical constructed phenomena, but internally firm, still. So this is the last one actually Buddha given as an answer to his question, Sabiya's question, and we with that I think we can conclude today's Sutta teaching session, and few more questions are there to be discussed. And we'll try to discuss on the coming weeks. And now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Sanjay.
Yeah. Okay. We have a question. Yeah. We have a question from our side. Yeah. 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 Go ahead.
Thank you, Bhante. This is more than really a question, but it's more just to get a response from you. And I'm really inspired by these verses as far as my own practice of how to work toward, you know, because I'm not an arahant, but I want to move in that direction. So the Buddha is instructing, even though, you know, Sabiya isn't an arahant, but he's trying to encourage him towards that goal. And I think for us too, even being very low in our development, we can still work towards these qualities. And so I just, in my own meditation, I notice that some of these things that are talked about here, I think, can be experienced even for somebody just as a beginner. If we're meditating and we're seeing, if we're able to focus on the present moment because we're focusing on sensation, let's say, of the breath or our feet walking, even for a few moments, then we are actually moving closer to experience, you know, to letting go of a self for that moment and a self view. And so I was just interested in as far as unattached, which was stated in one of the verses, the verse 519, not grasping. And just from a different angle, I was seeing that as being due to no longer identifying with an independent self, instead of one's instead one merges into the oneness of all things. I think if we're finding it in our meditation, I find at times that I have moments where I feel a oneness of body and mind, and I'm experiencing the present moment fully, I feel, for a few moments, and then the mind comes back in, and I recognize. But I guess what I want to say about that is that it's not something that I will to happen. I don't say, you know, like the Arahant doesn't say, I want to let go of constructs, but rather I think when I'm meditating, at times the constructs of that are caused by our self-view and our craving drop away. So I think I'm just thinking that probably that my idea would be that the Arahant has practiced enough to where there's not a willful pushing away of constructs, but rather he enters into a non-duality of his experience. And when it talks of, also in the one of the, both verses 519 and 520, they talk about one who's gone beyond birth and death. Again, you know, when one is abiding in the present moment without any attachment to past or future, you're just completely in the present moment, then there is no birth or death. And then so that one has actually, from what I understand, to become an Arahant would be to enter into that state and no longer go back to believing in a past or future, or birth or death. So one enters into a non-dual state of being. No self or other, no past or future, no inside or outside. So I just wanted to offer those and just see how you would say.
So thank you very much for the comment. Actually, you properly understood what we were discussing. So as you said, so when the mind is in that non-grasping state, there is no coming and going. So there is no attachment, there is no rejection. So there is no coming and going. So there is no becoming process. And as a result of that, so there is no birth or decay or the death. So this one interesting verse, or we can say a kind of a Dhamma passage, Buddha mentioned that anisito na chalati, nisitasa chalitang, anisitasa chalitang nahti. Nisitasa chalitang. So when we are attached to something, there is a wavering. Anisitasa chalitang nahti. So when there is no attachment, then there is no association, so there is no wavering. Anisitasa chalitang nahti. Chalite asati pasadhi. When there is no such kind of a wavering, movement, then there is a kind of a tranquility. Chalite asati pasadhi. Pasadhi asati nati nohoti. When there is no, and when there is the tranquility available, there is no any kind of a futuristic thought or futuristic inclination in the mind. There is no craving to a next moment, because internally you are tranquil. Pasadhya sati nati nohoti. Natiya asati agati gati nohoti. So when that futuristic inclination, the craving for next moment, craving for next event is not available. Natiya asati ga agati gati nohoti. So coming and going is not there in the mind. So internally it is very much like calm, relax. You don't need to jump to a next moment because right now you are happy. In the present moment you are fully happy, fully satisfied. Natiya asati agati gati nohoti. Agati gatiya asati chutupapate nohoti. So when there is no coming and going, there is no rebirth or death. Agati gatiya asati chutupapate nohoti. Chutupapate asati neva ida na hurang na ubhe mantare. When there is no rebirth and death, and you are not here, you are not there, you are not in between, ese vanto dukkhasa, and this is the end of suffering. So this is a very interesting and very profound statement with respect to the Nibbana. So the state of mind, when one is experiencing this Nibbana is explained here. You can't say that you are in the extreme form of Nibbana, that you are an Arahant. Rather, we can say the necessary vipassana knowledges are available. As a result of that, now you are in a kind of a temporary Nibbana. Sometimes we can call it as Tadanga Nibbuti. So till the proper management of the defilements, proper availability of the vipassana knowledges are available, you are maintaining this kind of an internally satisfied, internally firm. There is no movements, and there is no futuristic desires. Present moment you are utterly satisfied, and there is no coming and going into the mind. There is no rebirth and death, so you are very peaceful. And there is no identification either. And you are not here, you are not there, you are not in between. So that means, so any kind of egoistic kind of feeling is also not there. There is no eye-making, mind-making. So very, very profound and very, very interesting area in a way. So during our meditation, if we are able to reach this kind of state, so that means we need to spend some time there. We need to enjoy that kind of a state. So rather than feeling bored or rather than thinking of any kind of an excitement, are we capable of being in there? You know, I mean, just be there. Just enjoy that peacefulness of the mind. Therefore, as you properly, you know, comprehended what we were discussing, so that is the same thing that Buddha sometimes highlighted in different terms, as I told you right now. So this statement that I have referred, available in the Channovada Sutta, so it's available, and in certain Nibbana Patisangyutta Desana, so Nibbana related sermons, it is available. It's also another way of representing. It combines craving and unavailability of craving and maintaining of that peaceful state of mind. And on the other hand, you pointed out that the Arahant, so how he avoids the mental constructs. So basically I feel, so his mind is now equipped with knowledge. So you know, avijja paccaya sankhara. So the ignorance conditions the mental constructs. So instead of ignorance, now he has the knowledge. So the vipassana knowledges, the wisdom is available in his mind. So therefore, there are no mental constructs. Avijja paccaya sankhara, but if there is no avijja, so what is available is the vijja, the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom. So on such wise state of mind, there can't be any kind of mental constructs. So the mind become calm, mind become relaxed, peaceful. So therefore we can say it is not that the Arahant is merely calm down mental constructs merely using concentration. Rather, the ignorance is also not there. So he has abandoned the ignorance. Instead, he now has thorough understanding. As a result of that, the mental constructs are incapable of coming out, incapable of sprouting, something like that.
I find it, I wonder, you know, like the wisdom that you're mentioning, is that, it must be something that's connected. I mean, it's not just intellectual wisdom.
Definitely not. Yeah. So, it is so not the mere intellectual wisdom,
yeah.
Rather a kind of penetrative wisdom.
Yeah.
So you have seen things as they truly are.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see things as they truly are, so you feel not worthy of thinking about them.
Yeah.
So the mind become not interested about them.
Okay.
So no point of involving with them, no point of attaching to them.
Yeah.
Because they have the nature to come and go. They have the nature to arise and pass away. They are impermanent. So the mind does not have further interest about them. Attaching them, holding them, grasping them, calling them as mine, is not worthy of. As a result of that, mind become disenchanted. So now mind has found its inner peace in a way. So inner peace devoid of these mental constructs. Isn't it? So it is not that through the mental constructions, through conditioned phenomena, now mind has found kind of a satisfaction. Rather, so the mind has become peaceful, devoid of any of these conditioned phenomena. So it become more peaceful because there are no mental constructs. Something like that.
Yes, and this needs to come through practice.
Definitely,
right?
Yes. Definitely, yes.
So we see it in our practice arising. And then we don't have to wonder, is it this or that, or think about it intellectually. It will be a process that happens.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So that's why, I mean, as we are continuing our practice,
yeah.
Time to time, this kind of a very peaceful state can happen.
Yeah.
There may be a situation, so mind is not interested of further constructions, further thinking, further volitional activities.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, mind want to take a rest.
Yeah.
So, on such situation, we have to take a rest. Okay, just calm down. Now you don't have to do anything. Just be.
Yes.
So we have to promote that sort of attitude in a way.
Yes.
Rather than striving, okay, just be. Just calm down. Just relax.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, those are the questions from our side, Jennifer. If you have any more questions from your side.
If there are any questions, feel free to raise your hand or send me a chat. Bhante, I have a question about the meditation practice.
Uh-huh.
So I was... I guess towards the end of a retreat, intensive retreat, and at that time there was like no more thoughts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was just kind of an open awareness, but very much internal open awareness. I wasn't trying to feel sensation in any particular parts of the body. In fact, there was really no sense of a body existing. But I noticed there was this, like, just awareness. There was this, like, there was me being aware, and then there was this, like, something else that was fully aware of everything that was happening within the body. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know if that even makes sense.
Yeah.
But I figured I'd check with you,
Bhante. Yeah. So when you are, say, aware of everything, just aware of that. So don't try to step back and see who is aware of this. So then we are getting entangled. So that is interesting, level of sunyata. So as we know in the Kalakarama Sutta, so Buddha mentioned four levels of sunyata, or four sides of sunyata, the emptiness.
Sorry, sit-down meaning emptiness, okay.
So emptiness, yeah. So the emptiness in the sense, so when you see something other than the act of seeing, so Buddha mentioned there is nothing substantial that you are seeing. There is no thing that you are seeing, but the seeing happens. The activity seeing is there, just so. So as a result of that, so don't proliferate thinking there is something that you saw. So that is one area. The next area is that if you haven't seen, so don't think that you haven't seen, and you haven't seen something as a result of that doing kind of a mental construction, doing kind of mental proliferation. Don't do that. So there is thinking that not seen. So that's another area. The third one is thinking that I should see. It is something that I should see. So there is no, I mean, you shouldn't do even mental construct proliferation using that. The last one is the important one, actually connected to your question. Don't think that there is a seer, S-E-E-R, kind of an observer, a seer. Thinking that there's a seer, if I am mentally proliferating, so that is also not necessary. So that's also wrong in a way. So there is no seer either. So at four levels and four different angles, so we can implement this emptiness. So when you are aware that things are disintegrating, things are happening, they are coming and going, just observe that, that's it. So keep it at that level, so the mind become calm, relaxed. So more and more the mental constructs become less and less, further mind become peaceful, and just be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes complete sense. And I guess it's so hard to describe it, but it seems as, like you said, you know, there is no even mental proliferation of the seer. So even when you let go of that, it feels like this so-called seer or consciousness joins, becomes one with something else that felt very distinct.
Mm-hmm.
And it became one, and it was just knowing. It was just this pure, like, really peaceful, calm knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't sure what this, it felt like a separate thing that, like, the consciousness, like, became one with,
mm-hmm.
what that was. Or if there is even is a separate, like, knowing somewhere for the consciousness to, like, become one with.
Yeah. So at that level, so if we start encouraging any doubts, if we start become kind of mentally perplexed, then we do another construction. Now here, while you are dwelling there, if you promote any kind of mental constructs, so that is where we go wrong. So that is where we need to do the calming down of mental constructions. So you got to calm down constructions. So don't encourage thinking at that level. Don't encourage any kind of further investigations at that level. Just be in that dwell. Just dwell in that level. Just be in that level without encouraging any mental formations.
Okay. So that is the correct direction.
Exactly.
Stay in that state. Okay.
Yeah. So let me show the Kalakarama Sutta. I found the Pali part. So this is the Kalakarama Sutta. So you can see Kalakarama Sutta in the Anguttara Nikaya. So here Buddha mentioned with respect to, say, the knowing part. Vinyatva vinyatabham vinyatam na manyati. So other than knowing, there is no something significant that we know. But the knowing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then avinyatam na manyati. And you are not supposed to think, not supposed to conceptually proliferate, thinking that I didn't know something. Not knowing. With respect to not knowing, you don't do any kind of a mental proliferation. And then don't do mental proliferation with thinking that I should know something. Vinyatabbang. I should know that. I should know that. Thinking like that, don't do any mental proliferation. Na manyati. And the last one is vinyatarang na manyati. Vinyatarang. Thinking that I am here, I am the one knowing, there is a person internally, there is a soul, there is a self. So thinking like that, don't do mental constructs. So rather calm down mental constructs. Na manyati. So na manyati means don't do manyana. Don't do any kind of mental constructs. Don't do any kind of conceiving. Rather allow things to calm down. Allow mental constructs to calm down. Allow thinking to fade away. And enjoy internal silence.
Thank you. So it looks like Kumudini has a question. Are you able to unmute here? Can you put the question?
Okay. Raise the hand because I'm using the phone today and I couldn't find it. Fine. Yes, I can hear you. Thank you. Can I talk now?
Yes, yes.
I have a question, but it's not directly related to the sermon of today. But I wanted to find out now there are this maga phala for the four noble individuals, maga and phala, that means eight. I want to ask you in the first stage of so on, how do you distinguish a somebody who is in the maga? What are the characteristics?
So rather
than say that.
rather than answering you that, I feel it is easy to answer who is in the phala. Because a concrete answer is given in one of the suttas. So, you know, in the Kosambi Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya, so Buddha give a kind of a criteria to verify whether, how to verify that one is in a phala state.
Okay, I will read it up then.
Yeah, so there are Kosambi Sutta. So it is in the Majjhima Nikaya, that is Majjhima Nikaya 48. Majjhima Nikaya 48. So there Buddha actually has given seven criteria to verify whether one is in the Sotapanna phala.
That is my question.
So then you can read that it's a kind of a reflections, actually six or seven reflections Buddha mentioned there. Actually we discussed this while we were conducting Perth retreat. Actually, the Perth retreat theme was Chanki Sutta, but there I have discussed this Kosambi Sutta, this particular part, how to verify whether one is in the Sotapanna phala. So this is a very comprehensive contemplation actually one has to do. Again and again one has to reflect in one's mind according to this criteria which Buddha has given. So then one can say, to some extent we can say verify whether one's mind is attained to that level.
Bhante, I have another question, do you mind? It is, I listened to a lot of Dhamma talks on YouTube, and I was listening to a talk by Bhante, the Australian monk, Ajahn Brahm, Ajahn Brahmali. He said that you cannot reach Soan stage unless you get jhanas. Is that correct?
So that's the thing. So what we define as a jhana? So the jhana So we can define jhana based on the jhana factors. Vitakka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata. So the applied mind, then the
sustained attention, then the piti, and then dakkavichara piti, sukha, the happiness, and then the concentration. So these jhana factors are available when you do vipassana.
Right.
So that is why. So you can refer Venerable Mahasi Sayadaw's definitions on jhana. So he actually properly get the definitions to jhana based upon. So when you do proper investigation. So when mind itself is interested in that and doing it happily, and it is not through our own motivation or kind of a persuasion, rather mind is quite happily doing it now. So at that level, it's a kind of an effortless way of investigation. So there one can say, say you are in the first jhana. So because again and again mind applies itself to a particular phenomena and then thoroughly investigates that. As a result of that, one's is in a proper peaceful state of mind, a kind of happiness is available and well concentrated. So that is another way, that is one definition we can say of the jhana. And when that is further continuing, so it becomes further and further refined, and gross kind of vitakka vichara also now abandoned, one can do a very subtle investigation, very precise kind of investigation. Then we can say one is in the second jhana. And
Bhante, I have read those books and I know about the jhanas. But what I'm trying to say with you, Bhante, is that this monk is categorically stating that this is a new method that they have developed lately, that there is no such thing in the sutras, and he is claiming that anybody who has attain to Sotapanna can get jhanas at will. And he's this kind of vipassana jhana. He's talking about the jhanas that you get by doing the concentration anapanasati. I just want, because he's saying that with such
confidence.
Like, you know, there's types of Buddhism and this is one and that is the other. And what he's talking about is the real one, and this is Mahasi Sadhu's one. You were. That is what I clarified, Bhante.
Yeah, that's the thing. So we need to be careful about these, criticisms. So we should not jump into conclusions here. Thing is, say Mahasi Sayadaw, Sayadaw Pandita, and they are also not, making a statement just because their own judgments, but they also have thoroughly make investigation. And on the other hand, you can read one of the Venerable Analyo's very good research paper. He do a fairly, impartial kind of observation to this jhana. So what is the proper definition? So what are the types of concentration available? So there he argue. So later in the Buddha's sasana, so some say during the Buddha's time, actually the proper jhana is not the person that getting absorbed to something and dwell in that without doing anything. So the mind become incapable of doing anything because it is very much like locked. So that is very much like Hindu type of jhana. Hindu type of jhana, so they are, you are absorbed to that. So you are very much like locked. You are in a like a deep freezer. You can't do anything. But on the other hand, the Buddha's way of explanation always has a capacity to see what is going on. The sampajanya is there. The understanding is there. The mindfulness is there. So you are well aware of what is going on. You are not locked. So the deep concentration, thinking that you have to get locked and you can't do anything while you are in the jhana, so that is something came from the Hinduism to the Buddhism, but it is not the real thing that Buddha taught. So these are actually the ways that different academics and
So intellects are sort of trying to find out what is really has happened. And another thought is, another say very good explanation is Ajahn Buddhadasa's explanation. So he is also a Thai Ajahn, say parallel to Achan Cha. He is thorough in the meditation as well as in the academia. So Ajahn Buddhadasa. So he is also basically highlighting that we don't need to be in a jhana, rather you have to maintain a very effortless, natural state of mind in order to do the vipassana. So if you are in a deep absorption, you can't do anything. So that is too much going to an extreme. Rather, you got to be in a fair mindfulness should be available, full awareness should be available, distinct understanding should be available. Then only you are capable of doing proper, say, vipassana. So likewise, it is not merely that we need to accept only one side. So we can observe, we can sort of investigate various other explanations as well. And I feel, so the thing is, certain teachers are fairly biased towards samatha and certain others are fairly biased towards vipassana. So if we can take a middle, so we don't need to become biased to anything, but if we can see in ourselves what's really going on. So is it possible for me to achieve, as we just discussed, what is available in the Kosambya Sutta? Now, since Buddha has defined six criteria, so are we able to achieve that criteria within myself? So if we are able to achieve that, so it is something significant, something important. And on the other hand, so as a result of the practice, so if the said qualities are available, so that doesn't mean that we haven't been in the jhana, rather we were going through jhana.
Bhante, could you give me the title of Bhikkhu Analeos?
Let me find it out. So we'll go to the next section. I need to little time to find it out. Maybe next time probably, then I'll present it to you. It's worth little discussing. So let me discuss that next week.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Thank you.
I'll turn to Geshan for the next question.
I really enjoy the discussion and the question as well. And so this is more than a question. I thought of, I think if I'm not wrong, pronouncing this name correctly, Kumudini's questions about from one of the monks from Australia, Bhikkhu Analeo, and I had the pleasure of asking the same question from Bhikkhu Analeo itself at Channa's place. So the question was the same thing, and the response what I got from him itself you may be going through the jhanic experience, but you may not be aware of it as well. So that is the only statement that I thought I should make. But I really enjoyed the question and your answers. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So actually, Bhikkhu Analeo is fairly impartial. So I feel he's a very good teacher in that sense. He has a very interesting research-oriented mind, and he is not only stepping on to samatha, he is not biased towards vipassana. He actually take a very impartial approach, and he went through the Theravada canon and the Tibetan canon and the Mahayana canon, the Agamas, and so his way of analysis, his way of introducing things is very factual, research oriented. So these are very good sources actually we can look into, so that we can get a proper perspective. So rather than being biased onto one side. So he actually gave a very broader perspective onto these things. So I think it's worth discussing. Let me take his paper next time and discuss a little bit.
I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, if there is no more question, then we'll wind up the session. So today also we have gathered here for about 1.5 hours, and we were able to discuss some teachings from the Buddha, and all the accumulated merits we share with all the celestial beings, all the past relatives, and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, nibbana. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata jamhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata jamhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavata jamhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkhantu mamparam. Idam vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā hontu ñātayo. Idam vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā hontu ñātayo. Idam vo ñātīnaṃ hotu sukhitā hontu ñātayo. Imina puṇya kammena māme bāla samāgamo.
Satam samāgamo hotu
yāva nibbāna pattiyā. Imina puṇya kammena māme bāla samāgamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.